not to let it soak in. We want to be like in the shower when you're just letting the water run over top of you and you're just delighting in it, enjoying in it. I want that to be our response this morning, because there's some beauty in these chapters that we're looking at. What Paul's doing through the first three chapters is he's building a crescendo. For some of you music people, you know what crescendo is it starts quiet and it builds into this loud and powerful moment. This book is crescendoing. And it starts with Ephesians 1:3, and we've said this verse every week for the last 3 weeks, but I want to make sure you know where we're starting, where Paul's starting, what he's talking about in these first three chapters. It's in Ephesians 1:3. It says, "As praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms," and here's the phrase, "with every spiritual blessing in Christ." He's like, this is what we're talking about this morning. This is what I'm writing to the Ephesians church, Paul's saying, is we have been blessed. We have been given. We have been gifted with every spiritual. God's not withholding. He is a giver. He is going to pour out on us every single spiritual blessing that he has. The God of the universe, all that is at his disposal, he wants to give to us. And this is where it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus." We don't use that term a lot, praise, because it's kind of a church word. But I want to, it's kind of like the picture of be amazed at, be wowed by. Just sit back and let it soak it in. We do it this way, hashtag only God, right? Oh, wow, God. Whew, that is pretty amazing. We're bragging on God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Then he goes through chapter 1. He starts walking through some of these blessings, you know, that we have an inheritance, that we have a hope, that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And he's like, man, we have all these, we have adoption. And then he goes into Ephesians chapter 2, and he's building. He's like, you know how we get there? We get there because there's this guy named Jesus who took us from death to life. He gave us a gift of life, not by works, not by anything that you've done, but by only receiving have you gotten this gift of eternal life. And then he moves into chapter 2, says, you're moving from outsider to an insider. You were outside the promises of God, and now through Jesus Christ, you have been offered this gift of becoming an insider to receive all those gifts. And then he wraps up, and we're going to jump to the end of the chapter 3, kind of the crescendo, the last like exclamation point of the chapter. And this is what he says. Verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." We're going to look at these two verses real quick. It says, now to him. He's like, praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 3, in chapter 1. And now he says, now to him, after all the stuff that I'm telling you, now to him who is able to do, he is capable of, he is willing, he wants to do more. He says, to do not just more, but immeasurably more. Like, you can't even compare from what you have planned to what he has planned. It's immeasurable. You can't even fathom the gap between the two. He wants to do, he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask and all we imagine. All right, now just breathe that one in for a second. God, he is wanting, he is able to do more than you can pray. Your prayers that you're bringing before him, your Father, he wants to do more. He is able to do more. You know what he's saying? Sometimes our prayers aren't big enough. Now, your imagination, you can imagine a lot. Your imagination cannot grasp what he wants to do in you. And I want to make sure you understand this. I think the majority of that, a lot of that, God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine in this life, in this few moments that we have here. But there's no doubt in my mind that after we leave this place, God will do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, which means this, that your picture of heaven, you know, you could put all your favorite things on this planet together in one place. You could put the roller coasters, if you like those. You can put your favorite foods, the taste that you love. You can put the favorite views that you have, ocean, lake. You know, you can put all your favorite stuff together. You can create your own perfect world for yourself. You can Minecraft 2.0 it. All right, you can build in your mind this imagination of what you want for your life. And God says, someday when you leave this place, I want more here, but I can guarantee you, heaven's going to be so much better than what you have imagined. Does that, okay, this is why I get fired up, all right, just so you know. He has planned for us for ages to come. He wants to pour out his grace, his blessings for day after day, moment after moment, year after year, decade after decade, century after century, millennia after millennia. I don't even go any further because I don't know anymore. But do you understand? He's like, he is going to do more than we ask or imagine forever. I mean, and listen, what he said before is, not because you're good, not because you do the right things, not because he wants to, the word is lavish grace out on you. He wants you to soak in his grace. He wants you to marinate the chicken in marinade over and over and over. It's going to be really, really good forever. And this is what it says. To him be glory. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. He says, glory is this idea of beauty. Glory is like this wowness. Like, think of the most beautiful thing. There's a view of glory in it. He says, may the most beautiful thing that you can ever think about or ever experience, may it come from him. To him be glory. To him be like, wow, I want to slow this down. I want to delight in this. I want to enjoy this forever and ever, generation to generation. May we be amazed at what he has done. And he says this in Jesus Christ. But I want you to catch this other phrase, because this is the other part of the gospel, the other part of the good news, the other part of this wow factor. He says, to him be glory, to him be beauty, to him be only God's stories in the, do you see that phrase? The church. Do you know that right here in this body, this place, actually not this group of people, this family, this body of followers of Jesus Christ, should be a reflection of God's glory? Does that mean, like, this is what it should be. People should be like standing back, looking at the church, looking at what God has designed, and be like, holy cow, God. Wow, God. There is something about the church that God says, this is, in fact, we're going to look at this, is the manifold wisdom of God. Do you get that phrase? Manifold means full, like God's plan. God's intent, God's purpose was that in the church he might reveal his glory. Which means it's that he wants the community, the people outside of these walls, outside of our body to be wowed by what happens in and through this body. And so Paul leans into chapter 3. Jump over to verse 1. Actually, we'll jump to chapter 2, verse 19. It says this, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, you're not outsiders, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And he has this picture, like, man, the church is now the glory that he wants to reveal. So in the Old Testament, they had this place called the temple. And the temple was, well, all the nations around Israel knew about the temple, knew of this amazing architectural building and what happens in the building. And all the people in Israel would go to the temple to worship. And they would come up the mountain of Jerusalem and looking up, and they'd be wowed by that building. They'd be wowed by what they were about to experience. They'd be like, I'm entering into the presence of God when I enter into that place. And now he says, that temple no longer exists. That temple no longer holds what it was, what held in the Old Testament. Now, what holds the glory of God is us. is the body functioning as the body. He's like, man, that's a glorious and beautiful place. Chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. Paul's like, all right, for generations, this has been a mystery. This has been hidden. This has kind of been like you're trying to figure out what God's doing, but we didn't fully understand. And now that mystery is revealed. You ever read a book and there's like clues along the way, and then you get to the end of the book, you're like, oh, now I get that. The foreshadowing, like you're like, all those hints along the way, and now the mystery is revealed. The Old Testament had all these hints about what was going to happen. And now in the New Testament, that mystery is revealed. The veil is removed, and he says, you are no longer outsiders, but insiders. Verse 6 says this. This is the mystery. This is what's been revealed. That through the gospel, through the good news, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise of Jesus Christ. He's like, we are brought together. We are no longer outside the promises. All those things in chapters 1 and 2, all these things that were all these spiritual blessings, now we get to move into. We get to experience. That's the mosaic of the church. The beauty of the church is this idea that poor and rich, any kind of race, smart and intellectually challenged, like young or old, like anyone on the face of the planet, anyone is invited to come in to experience this great, the mosaic of the church. Like when you walk into a body, there is a diversity there. You know, the community, the outside people are like, well, they're not tied together by necessarily their past. They're not tied together by because they're the same. They make the same amount of money. We're tied together. This diverse group because of one person, Jesus Christ, who has brought the good news to us. Therefore, this is what Paul says. Verse 7. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God, the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, the grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the bounties. Listen to that phrase, and you can underline that if you have your Bibles open. To preach to Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which is for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. Paul says, not only do we get to experience the mosaic of the church, this body that gets to function together, but he is passionate about. He's driven by this idea that he gets to administer God's grace to everyone. You know what administration is? If you live in the medical field, you're a nurse, you administer medicine. You give them what they need. You administer. And Paul says, you know what I get excited about? You know what drives me? You know what really excites me is not this religion where I tell people what to do. What drives me is I get to lavish God's grace to people. You know what at the heart of what people need? At the heart, at the base, at the core of what people need. It's an encounter with God's grace. In their soul, they need experience this lavishment of what God wants to give them. And Paul's like, you know what I get to do? You know what the church gets to do? We get to administer. We get to give out. We get to. You ever wish you had more money? If I was rich, I'd be a lot more generous, right? That's kind of the thought that we would have. But wouldn't it be fun? Wouldn't it be kind of cool if you were given like thousands of dollars, like someone just came up to you and said, hey, Jamie, I'm going to give you like $10,000, but you can't, don't spend it on you. Just give it away. You know how much I think that, wouldn't that be fun? Just to walk through our world and be like, walk into McDonald's, I'm buying for everybody. Walk into to wherever, you know, like, I'm gonna deliver like TVs to everyone in Elmira. You know, you have an unlimited supply. You're just administering, you're just giving out, you're just like, I'm gonna give away. And Paul's like, I get to give away, I get to lavish God's grace on everyone in our community. And that drives him. You know what the church's goal is? What we want to do is we want to administer. We want to give. We want people to experience the grace of God. The lavishment. Let me change it a little bit. We want people to experience the blessings that he wants to pour out on every single person. We want people to experience the adoption of sons. We want people to experience what it's like to have an inheritance waiting for us. We want people to experience what it's like to be loved unconditionally, not because of what you have done, not because of that if, but because he loves you. He just loves you. We want people to experience what it's like not to have to earn things. Do you know in our world that most relationships are built on this give and take? I will love you as long as, right? I will be your friend as long as you do this. Like, it's conditional. Most of our relationships are very conditional. I will be with you as long as you give me what I need. You know, grace is not like that. Grace, like, we get to lavish this grace that God loves you because he made you, and he wants to be in relationship. He just loves you. And Paul's like, I get to administer that. Verse 10. His intent, this is God's intent, was that now, listen to the phrase, you underline it, circle it, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, you know, this, that God from the beginning of eternity has been working a plan. He had a purpose. He had a story. There was an intent. He was very intentional about what he was doing. And he says, the wrap up, the crescendo, the what he has been building toward is that through the, do you get the phrase? The church, the manifold, like God's glory will be revealed to everyone. That through the church, everyone will be invited in. That through the church, people will be wowed by him. The manifold wisdom of God. And in verse 12, it wraps it up with this. It says, and this is what we are all offered. This is what we all get in him. And through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. That no longer do we have to have fear walking into his presence. No longer do we have to be like walled. No longer do we have to offer sacrifices before we walk into the temple. No longer do we need a priest to stand before us. No, we can. The doors are wide open, and now we're walking in, not just to the court of Gentiles, not just into the court of the Jews. Now we're walking into the Holy of Holies, into God's presence. You don't have to have fear anymore. God's grace has offered you to come in. And then Paul ends this section in the first chapter with this prayer, this passionate desire that he has for the Ephesian church. You ever have, if you have kids, if you have especially older kids, you probably have experienced what it's like to pray passionately for them. When you see them heading down the wrong direction, when you see them making poor choices, when you see, let's say one of your kids, let's just use a living, one of your kids is addicted to drugs. You know, and you see it as a parent. And you're praying, passionately, fervently praying. You're talking to them. Man, don't you see it? Don't you see what this is doing to you? Don't you see how it's wearing on your face? Don't you see how it's destroying your life? And they'll usually, I'm fine, I can handle it. I'm not really addicted. I can handle this myself. And yet in your heart, you're like, oh, please see it. Oh, please get it. Oh, please. Oh, God, I'm begging you. I'm pleading you. Just allow them to change their course. Help them to see what they need to see. You ever been there? You ever have that kind of, like, want or desire for someone to get something? Like, just open it. Get this. get this. And this is where Paul ends the section. He's like, man, if you could just get this. He says, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, you can underline that phrase, out of all that's at his disposal, and all the wealth that he has, and all the power that he has, he has all this at his disposal, out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. He says, my prayer for the Ephesian church is that in your core, in the inner part, that you won't tap out, that you will have strength, you'll face difficult things, but I want you to stay strong. I want you to receive that power that he has available to you so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people, listen to this, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Man, if I could just get you to see all that God has planned. He just spent 3 chapters going through all these blessings. He's like, man, if I could get you to understand this, how much you're loved, how wide it is, you can't get from one end to the other, how deep it is, you can't get from the top to the bottom, how you just can't fathom how loved you are, how much passion he has for you. If you could be rooted and established in that, when the winds of life start blowing, you won't be blown away. You'll have strength. You'll have, but just, dude, you get it. He wants you to get it. He wants the Ephesian church to understand it. Listen to how he ends it, though. And to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. If you could be rooted and established love, and you could get his strength from him. He says, do you understand what's available to you? That you may receive the fullness of God. That you know why we call this series Abundantly More? It's not about more stuff and more things. It's about more of him. More of his blessings, more of his grace, more of his lavishment, more of what he wants to pour out on us. He says, if I could get, here's me, all right, talking to you. If I could get you to understand one thing, it would not be a list of things that you need to do. If I could get you to understand one thing, it would not be come to our church. If I could get you to understand one thing, it wouldn't be how to read the Bible necessarily. If I could get you to understand one thing only, if I could get you to really have your eyes open to something, it would be this, that God wants to pour out grace after grace upon you. Not because of anything you've done. It won't cause it, and it won't stop it. He says, I want you to experience blessing after blessing of his fullness. He doesn't want you to give you a piece of him. He doesn't want to, like, hey, just have a little taste. He wants you to sit back and be like, God, I want more of your fullness. And then, you know what he says there? Now to him who is, because of his fullness that's at work in us, he says, now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, he's able to do more and more and more. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. I'm a little fired up about that. Because I don't know of anything that can be given to you more. If I could give you anything that you could have this morning, I bring out a gift. All that you need, that you want. There is nothing that could compare to that. And so, what do you do? Right? What do we do with that? You know, the next question is, okay, how do we apply that? How do we, God, I want that. I want, now what do I do? And I go back to the beginning of the message. This is what I think we do. When we are looking at grace, what we do is we sit and soak. We push the slow down button. Let's just slow this down a little bit, God. I want to be in the shower. I want the hot water just to pour. I want God's grace to pour over me. I want to be sitting at the Lord's table, and I want to take that fatty piece of meat, and I want to just chew on it and delight in it. I want to sit outside and let the sun come down and just beat on me. You know, I, I just want more of just resting in it. Do you understand how the grace works? Grace is not like, oh, God's grace, let's go. Grace is like, breathe. Some of you are going through some crazy stuff right now. Crazy, like painful. Can we sit in God's grace? Rest. He's giving you every spiritual blessing in Christ. He is able to do more, measurably more than all we ask or imagine. You're worried about the next job and the next whatever. You know, you have some things that you're stressing about, and it's like, grace. He wants to lavish grace. I think that's really what God desires. Our operating system, you know what an operating system is, right? Operating system, what runs our phones, runs our computers. Our operating system wants us, makes us want to do. Just do the next thing. Just run to the next place. Just, God, I'm going to do this, 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 and this for you. And I think Paul is like building this crescendo of like, can you just enjoy it? Just receive it. Let it be Christmas morning and open them up and just find that joy and peace and rest that he has promised. And then over the next three chapters, he's like, and now this is how we live in that rest. This is how we live in that grace. This is how we get the most out of this grace that he's given us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, these three chapters are absolutely beautiful and crazy and hard to fathom that you would want to pour all this out on people like us. God, we want to soak in it. We want to soak in your grace. Those chapters are like about your glorious riches, your lavishment, your power, and your just all these things, God. And we just want to enjoy and delight and rest in what you've done for us. In Jesus' name.
that better? I think they mess with me just for the fun of it. You know, it's so cool to see Pastor Mike get so excited about the Word of God. And the Bible says that the Word of God is living and it's active, sharper than any two-edged sword. So I hope the Word of God is still exciting to you. I hope when you open it up, you know, you feel that joy and that excitement. That was a great message today. Just a couple of announcements for you. So this Saturday, we're having our next Saturday evening service. So that's going to be at 6 o'clock, but we're also going to be having a picnic just before it at 5. So if you're interested in coming, we have a sign-up sheet out in the Welcome Center. If you would, just kind of let us know that you're planning on coming. Let us know how many you plan on bringing. And if you would, bring a dish to pass. We're going to have hamburgers and hot dogs. Hopefully the weather is just going to be beautiful. Then we'll have a really nice outdoor service. I think it'll be a lot of fun. So we hope you can come out and join us for that. So I'm going to invite Rick Cornfield up. He's going to share a couple of announcements on some events that are coming up here pretty soon.
Well, good morning. All right. We have a couple of great opportunities to wow our community coming up here just in the near future. One happening on Memorial Day weekend, on the Memorial Day, actually, on the 27th. There's a parade going on, a Memorial Day parade, and for the past number of years, they've passed out water and flags and things like that, and we're looking for some people to volunteer just to bless our community. Ernie School is in charge of that. If you're interested at all in helping with that event, there is a sign-up sheet at the welcome desk, and they're going to hand out about 600 bottles of water. I don't know how many flags. So we really want to just bless our community. There is another way to bless our community, and that is through our free chicken barbecue coming up on Saturday, June 1st. We are looking for all kinds of help, again, to bless our community. We have ordered over 800 leg quarters. That's a lot of chicken, and we need a lot of help with that. And so we're looking for people to sign up and help us with grilling, with serving, with greeting, with even setting up, things like that. But maybe you can't be there. I've had a number of people this morning say, you know, I'm going to be here or I'm going to be there. Can't be there that particular day. You can help us in other ways with bringing baked beans. We could use a lot of baked beans to feed 800 chicken dinners. But we're not looking for the little cans that you get in the supermarket. We're looking for the number 10 cans, just a lot less to open up. So if you would bring that in by the Wednesday or Thursday before the 1st, that would help. Or big packages of small chips, just the little ones that you would buy. That would help out as well, kind of some of the cost. We also are looking for people to make desserts, brownies, cookies, Rice Krispie treats, things that are easy to do. Also some gluten-free items that are, again, finger food type of things. So if you can help with that. I'm also looking for somebody or a few people to help on a Friday night, kind of mix the coleslaw and the baked beans and things. And so if you're interested in that, it's not really on this sheet, but if you just put Friday night, we'll get in contact with you. I'm also looking for one or two people that have trucks that can help on Saturday morning. So if you can be involved in wowing our community, if you have any questions, I'll be in the back. And to go to the Welcome Center and sign up for this really great opportunity to bless our community.
Thanks, Rick. All right, so a few more things. So we have Ignite and Blast tonight. During Ignite, there's going to be a parents' meeting at 6 o'clock. So it's going to be from 6 to 7. If you have any questions about that, you can see Anthony Maglio. Also, if you're a high school student or a college graduate, also, if you can get in touch with Anthony, let him know. We'd like to get your information. Coming up on May 31st, we're having a date night, ballroom dancing. So You don't have to have a lot of experience. You don't have to have any experience. You can just come, and they're going to be teaching some steps, and you know, you can learn how to ballroom dance. It you know, I heard it was a lot of fun last time. I kind of wanted to go. You know, we'll see what happens this time. We'll see. But should be a good time. And so that's at 6:30 p.m. And just be looking forward to that. Also, our marriage simulcast is coming up. That's on June 7th. And so, again, that's going to be another really neat event. Francis Chan and his wife Lisa will be part of the speaking team, Les and Leslie Parrott. And then I believe Michael Jr., the comedian, will be part of that as well. But so keep that on your calendar and keep that in mind. So finally, I'm going to invite Brandon Von on. He's got a few things he'd like to talk with you about.
Good morning. Almost afternoon. My name is Brandon Von Ahn. I've been in this church for since the building was constructed here. I've also been in scouting since first grade. As you can see, I'm pretty well seasoned in scouting. And I'm currently working on my Eagle project. And what I'm looking at doing is I was walking around our beautiful building that we have here. I said, we're missing a flagpole. Our Pledge of Allegiance says one nation under God. And I think that's pretty important. So I talked to the trustees, and we're looking at putting in a one-piece 30-foot flagpole from, if you're looking at the road towards the building, the left side, the corner there, between there and the pavilion, putting in the pole. And to raise the money for this project, I'm selling flags. I have military flags, and American flag pole kits. They're out by the snack bar. All the proceeds from that go to the flagpole. And if you'd like to make a donation, that would be greatly appreciated. Along with, if you purchase a pole, or if you have flags that need to be retired, we will take them to the American Legion to be retired properly. Thank you.
All right, one last thing. Enjoy your day. It's hopefully going to be beautiful weather. You're dismissed. Thank you very much.